Dirty and damp, but I like it here. I like the chant of the coal peddler as he plods past my bar on Bourbon Street. I like the call of the blackberry woman, who's still singing the same song she sang when pirates hid their loot at Jean Lafitte's blacksmith shop in the French Quarter. And I like the Mississippi, where a man and a boat can find a dream. Yeah, I like New Orleans. They call me Jason. I call my boat the Golden Fleece.
NBC presents Jason and the Golden Fleece, starring MacDonald Carey.
My place in the New Orleans French Quarter is in the 800 block on Bourbon Street. It's a street that's full of the blues. The clarinets and the jazz joints cry to the tune of St. James Infirmary. The trombones wail a quiet dirge called Trouble in Mind. And the girls with the husky voices sing about a pair of quarreling lovers named Frankie and Johnny. You won't hear them in my place, though. Instead, you'll get the word about my 60-foot cabin cruiser, the Golden Fleece, that can help you try to sail away from trouble. If you don't have the price of the cruise, maybe Louis Dumont can mix you something behind the bar that'll make things seem better. Or worse. And if you just want to sit and think for a while, you can listen to the Schubert and Chopin I play on my concertina. But I guess if the blues are with you when you come in, it's pretty hard to shake them.
Yes, sir. The gentleman at the table over there would like you to play Frankie and Johnny.
That isn't exactly in my repertoire, Lou.
Hey, well, this is what I told him, Jason, but he was very insistent and generous, too.
Oh? How much did he give you?
A small gratuity. $10.
Ordinarily, that'd be enough for the whole Schubert Six, the way business has been. But tonight, we can afford to be independent.
It will be good to be sailing again, no? And Mademoiselle McKinnon will be a good passenger, huh?
She certainly looks like a good one. Give our wealthy friend his money back. I'm ready to hit the sack.
Oui. Ah, je sens he's coming over.
Well, you're not stopping, are you, Jason? I haven't heard my request yet. Sorry, mister, it's getting late, and we're shoving off the Vera Cruz in the morning. Louis will give you a refund. Thanks, anyway.
That isn't the idea of the money. I just wanted to hear the tune.
Like I told Louis, it's a little out of my line. You don't look much like a Frankie and Johnny man yourself.
That's where you're wrong. I'm Richard Drake, District Attorney's Office. I just convicted Frankie of Johnny's murder.
The Henderson case, huh? I didn't follow too closely, but apparently you did a good job. Congratulations.
I don't think congratulations are in order. Well, why don't you play the tune for me?
But Monsieur Jason is tired.
Never mind, Louis. I'll give it a try. But you'd better get the prosecuting attorney a drink. If it's a cinch, this tune isn't going to be worth the 10.
Are we?
Judy Henderson was innocent, Jason. I'm sure of it.
You just said you convicted her.
I was assigned the case. Convictions are my job.
Why'd you take the assignment?
It looks so pat. That's the kind you have to be careful of.
You want to fill me in so we'll both know what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Henderson's had been married 2 years. He had dough. She was pretty. She had another boyfriend. Her husband found out about it. Her fingerprints were on the gun. The neighbors heard him call her name just before the shot was fired.
The way I remember it, she said she wasn't even at home when he was killed.
She had an alibi that she'd been to the movies. No witnesses to back her up. An average pre-legal student could have done the job as well as I did it.
What makes you think she's innocent?
Just the feeling you get when you're questioning somebody on the stand.
Nice woman, huh?
Oh, no, not particularly. But honest. I'm sure of it.
Didn't she break down in court and practically confess the whole thing?
Sure. After I worked her over pretty good. Loaded questions, implications. Yeah, you learn a lot of tricks when you've been practicing law as long as I have.
Any reason for you telling me this?
Oh, just wanted to get it off my chest, I guess. I'm a little uneasy ever since the jury came in this afternoon.
Feel better now?
Not much. Oh, I like the way you played that, though.
Yeah, I like this place, too.
I'll bet I'd like your boat.
The Golden Fleece is always available for charter. We happen to have a cruise lined up starting tomorrow, but when we get back, give us a call.
Any chance of my taking that trip tomorrow?
Sorry.
Maybe the man who chartered your boat would like to have somebody along to share the expenses.
It's a woman. And she dresses like one who doesn't have to worry about sharing expenses with anybody.
Well, it was just an idea. You know, I was in the Navy when I was a kid. I liked the sea a lot. Yeah, it always gave me a sort of a clean feeling. Tonight, I need a bath.
Here's your drink, Mr. Drake.
Hmm? Oh, thank you, Louis.
Mr. Drake, supposing we could arrange it, would you be able to leave in the morning?
Sure. Why not?
I'd like to have you along. It'll be sort of lonesome just Louis and me all the way back from Veracruz.
And it might not be such a bad idea to have Mr. Drake along on the way to Mexico also.
What makes you say that, Louis?
Well, from what I have seen of our Mademoiselle McKinnon, perhaps it would be more proper if your son and I had a chaperon on this cruise.
It was late, but Vicky McKinnon had told me to call any time during the night if there was anything I wanted to tell her about the cruise. She wasn't asleep when her phone rang, and her voice sounded as good as she'd looked the afternoon before when she met us at the Inner Navigation Canal to charter the police.
Glad you called, Jason. I'm too excited about the trip to sleep much anyway.
Well, that's a refreshing answer to a call like this.
Huh?
The most logical thing for a woman to say this time of night would be, is anything wrong?
Well, there isn't, is there?
No. Of course not, Miss McKinley.
I really didn't think so. As long as we're going to be shipmates, you might as well call me Vicky. What did you want?
There's a man who'd like to come along with us. Would you mind?
Oh, I don't know, Jason. This man, could you describe him?
He's Richard Drake.
From the district attorney's office?
Yeah, you know him?
Not really.
Well, I'll see you in the morning.
Just a minute, Jason. Seems a shame to disappoint Mr. Drake. Why don't you tell him he can come along if he wants to?
It's up to you, Miss McKinnon.
Well, please tell him he'd be more than welcome.
All right, fine.
I've been wanting to talk to Mr. Drake anyway.
Thought you didn't know him.
I don't, but my sister does. He just convicted her of murder.
Louis and I had to grab a few hours' sleep and then hurry down to the canal in the morning to get ready to shove off. By that time, there was a third party who wanted to get into the act.
All spare parts, boxes secure, yes, sir?
Right, Louis.
Hey, this the Golden Fleece?
Yeah, that is right, monsieur.
You mind if I come aboard for a minute?
We are just about to haul in the line.
Yeah, we'll just hold it.
What's the idea, mister?
Where's Vicky McKinnon?
She's in her compartment, and she doesn't want to be disturbed.
She'll be plenty disturbed if she doesn't see me. Tell her Paul Norman's here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Norman. She's chartered this boat. As far as I'm concerned, I'm working for her.
Show me where Vicky is.
I've already told you I'm sorry, but I'm not the kind of guy who plays it polite too long. Now, get off.
Look, I want to see her. She owes me $30,000.
I'm no collection agency. I'll tell her you called.
Let's go. This would be a lot easier if you do it yourself.
Jason, let him go.
Hello, Vicky.
Hello, Paul.
Seem to have picked yourself as sort of a rugged boyfriend this time.
What do you want?
You know what I want. The $30,000 you promised me.
You're a little mixed up, Paul.
You asked me for that. I didn't promise you anything.
If you'll excuse me, Miss McKenna.
It's all right, Jason. Please stay.
You want me to tell what I know?
Yes, Paul. I think that would be nice.
You're kidding.
You ought to know I don't have too much of a sense of humor.
But, Vicky, I don't want to tell.
What you mean is you don't want to tell as badly as you want the $30,000. Isn't that right, Paul?
Look, Vicky, don't get the idea that I won't, though.
I haven't any such idea. Why don't you tell your little story? Why don't you run downtown right now and tell the whole thing?
All right. I think I will.
Would you like to hear the story he's going to tell about me, Jason?
I don't figure it's any of my business.
Well, that's a nice attitude. But it might be a dangerous one, too.
You'll have to explain that a little.
The late Mr. Henderson was my boyfriend before my sister married him.
That doesn't sound particularly incriminating.
I told the reporters who interviewed me about the murder that I was in New York at the time of the shooting. Mr. Norman is going to tell the police that I was here.
Just a minute, Louis.
What does that mean, Jason?
Louis wants to know if we're ready to shove off.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm ready, Miss McKenna. Are you?
That's up to you.
Haul him in, Louis. It was pretty bad timing, shoving off with a possible fugitive from justice, plus a man from the district attorney's office. But like I said, Vicki McKinnon sounded good, and she looked good. And her friend Norman was bad both ways. I figured she wouldn't have to tell me the story and let it go at that. I was glad I had when we hit the river and she came into the wheelhouse. She was wearing a cashmere sweater and a pair of blue jeans, and she modeled them very nicely without even trying.
Where have they been keeping this river all my life?
It's been rolling a long time.
We miss a lot of things, don't we?
Big world. Can't see everything.
I think it'll be fun trying.
That's your plan? Keep moving?
I don't know. Right now, that's the way I feel. But the most important thing was to get away from New Orleans.
You're talking about my hometown.
Mine, too. And I liked it pretty well for a while. Till Judy started taking things away from me.
Your sister?
Mm-hmm. Don't get the idea that it's a big thing with me or that I'm jealous. I'm not. Judy's pretty, talented. She's deserved everything. Where's Mr. Drake been keeping himself?
He was reading in his compartment the last time I was below.
You have to read a lot to be a lawyer, don't you?
I guess so. I never was much of a student.
You have to know a lot about a lot of things. About people, too.
Yeah? That takes a lot of education.
You've had that kind of an education, Jason.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. You've learned how to be kind. That's the most important thing.
With you, that's easy.
I will relieve you at the wheel if you wish, your son.
Okay, Laura.
I better go. You two probably have things you want to talk about.
Just hold her steady as she goes, Laura.
Hey. And you also?
What?
Mademoiselle McKinnon is a very pretty young lady, no?
You've got two eyes of your own.
Oui. And also a brain. And I'm beginning to wonder if the same thing is true of you.
Louis is the kind of a guy who never takes a shot in the dark. He waits. Till he can see the whites of your eyes, then takes two steps towards you and fires point blank with both barrels. He very seldom misses, and I guess he didn't that time either. But I didn't even get a flesh wound. Down in the galley, Drake was having some coffee. I joined him there, and he started making me a target. He wasn't as good a shot as Louis, but he hurt me more.
Did you bring your concertina with you?
Yeah. You got another request?
You know any Mendelssohn or Wagner?
A little. Why?
Beginning to look like you may need it.
Look, Drake, when I need any advice to the Lovelorn, I'll write a letter to some newspaper.
I was kidding.
I wasn't.
She's dynamite, Jason. Or, to put it more in your vernacular, a lullaby.
I know these waters pretty well.
But you don't know Vicki McKinnon as well as you think you do.
Keep talking.
Did you ever hear of a man named Paul Lerman?
I met him.
Know who he is?
Do you?
He used to be Vicky's husband, quite a boy in the New York rackets.
Blackmail?
Mm-hmm, among other things. How did you know?
I caught his routine.
What does he have on Vicki?
Nothing.
All right, Sir Galahad, what does he think he has?
Am I on the witness stand?
That could be arranged. I'm not here by accident, you know.
I figured that out already.
Jason, I told you the night we met that convictions were my business. I'm sorry I said that. I was a little bitter at the
time. Sit down, Mr. Prosecutor. You're not working in front of a jury.
We take a note about convicting the guilty, but there's something in it about protecting the innocent, too.
What are you trying to do on this cruise?
Both. Now, what did Norman say?
He didn't say anything. Vicki told me he's threatened to say she wasn't in New York at the time of the Henderson shooting.
Oh, we already know that.
Where do you think she was?
In Henderson's apartment.
There was a flash of lightning close by to the east when Drake said that. But I didn't hear the thunder that came after. I was busy with a little storm all my own. It was going to get rough. I figured Louis would need some help, though, so I went topside. The sea was rocking the fleece when I got to Louis.
You told me this was to be a quiet cruise.
I didn't give you a guarantee, did I? How's it look?
You still have the 2 hours you spoke of. Had we not better check the radio for the weather ahead?
Yeah. I'll try to raise New Orleans.
Jason, I am sorry for what I said this afternoon.
That's all right, Louis. Maybe you were right.
Oui.
Calling WAK New Orleans Marine Operator.
This is the New Orleans Marine Operator.
This is Golden Fleece. William Baker, 21412. This is Golden Fleece out of New Orleans. Our position is latitude 27 degrees, 30 minutes north. Longitude 90 degrees, 10 minutes west. We would like a forecast for this general area. Over.
One moment, please.
I will admit that she is an attractive woman, but...
But sort of a Lorelei, huh?
Golden Fleece, here is your forecast. Prevailing easterly winds of comparatively high velocity are anticipated through the next 6 or 7 hours. Some rain. Small craft warnings have been hoisted all along the coast.
Thank you. William Baker, 21412, clear. Get the shore radio. Just getting a weather report.
You mean you can talk to New Orleans from here?
Sure. All the comforts of home.
I didn't know that.
Shall I change the course, Jason?
Not right now, Louis. Why don't you go get some rest?
I am not tired, Jason.
Go get some rest, Louis. Maybe a rough night.
Oui? But, Jason?
Yeah?
Before I go, I wish to withdraw my apology for what I said this afternoon.
What did he mean?
It's not important.
Why didn't you want him to change the course?
I want to change it myself. Back to New Orleans.
I can't go back.
Be better if you would. I had a little talk with Mr. Drake a while ago.
Has he heard Paul's story?
He said he'd heard it before from somebody else.
He was bluffing. No one else knows.
I know.
How?
You wouldn't make much of a liar. I don't want you to start trying.
I won't. But I don't want to go back. I just want to keep running.
You never get away from yourself.
I'm not conscience-stricken or anything like that. It wasn't what Mr. Drake thinks at all. Judy's husband called me to come back to New Orleans.
But you did come.
Yes. And I was in his apartment the night he was shot. And Judy was at the movies. But it wasn't what Mr. Drake thinks. Or what you think, either.
You didn't murder him?
I've read a little law myself, Jason. Murder is something you do with malice and forethought.
You mean you didn't plan it that way?
There was no malice either. Judy had taken him away from me, but I didn't care. Judy's pretty, talented. She deserved everything.
What made you shoot him?
I didn't. Not the way Mr. Drake thinks. He was drunk. Got out a gun. He said he'd kill me if I didn't stay with him. I grabbed for the gun, it went off. And he called out for Judy.
I know enough about law myself to know that's self-defense. No jury would ever convict you.
I couldn't go through with it. Judy's trial was enough.
So you're willing to let her be punished for you?
I didn't see how they could convict her. There just wasn't enough evidence. And she's going to appeal.
Appeals are tough. She lost once. It could happen again.
Not after Paul tells his story.
As soon as he talks, they'll come after you.
Not if I get to Veracruz. So hurry, Jason, please.
You're asking me to take the law in my own hands. You can sort of seafaring judge. I can't do that.
If I hadn't told you the story, you'd never have known.
But you told me.
Only because I felt for the first time that I found somebody who really cared what happened to me.
Yeah, I know.
When Paul tells his story, they'll call you on the radio. Can't you wait until then to turn back?
Let me think it over.
Hold me while you think, Jason.
It wouldn't be easy that way.
I don't want it to be easy. Oh, Jason.
Vicky. No. It's no good.
It's good. I never knew before. It's so easy to be happy.
Yeah. I guess it is. When you don't try too hard. She'd almost convinced me to take her course. I believed the story. And I guess I rationalized myself to her way of working out a problem. But then the next night, the sea got rougher, and Louie called me up to get another weather report.
I told you we should have changed the course, Jason.
All right, Louie, I know.
We do not have enough trouble with the sea. You have to fall in love.
You know me better than that, Louie.
Let us get the weather reports.
This is Golden Fleece. This is Golden Fleece out of New Orleans. Louie.
Oui?
This thing isn't working.
No?
You've been up here all afternoon?
Well, except for a few minutes when I put on the automatic pilot.
How long were you gone?
Oh, not more than 5 or 10 minutes.
I guess that'd be long enough for somebody to do this. Look at those wires.
Having a little difficulty, gentlemen?
Yeah, Drake. Look at this.
Huh. Not a very clever job, was it?
It can be fixed.
Are you ready to play from my side now, Jason?
What?
Are you ready to go back to New Orleans?
Miss McKinnon wants to go to Veracruz. She's chartered the boat, and that's where we're going, unless something happens to change my mind.
Well, isn't this enough?
The radio?
Oh, sure. Your girlfriends obviously tried to fix it up so that we won't be able to get the word when Paul Norman spills his story.
I thought you said you'd heard the story from someone else.
Well, as Vicky said, I was bluffing about that.
How do you know she said that?
By means of a little electronic device. There, you see that bug up there, Jason? The district attorney's office did a little work on your boat before we left.
You heard everything?
Mm-hmm. So listen to this.
I'm doing a little law myself, Jason. There is something you do with malice and forethought.
You mean you didn't plan it that way?
There was no malice either. Judy had taken him away from me, but I didn't care. Judy's pretty, talented. She deserved everything.
Turn it off.
Well?
She didn't do it with malice and forethought. I believe her.
Maybe I do, too. But I'm not the state of Louisiana, neither are you.
Besides, you can't take a tape recorder to court.
I could invite you, and you'd come.
Sure.
It was a nice try, Jason. And don't misunderstand me. I'd probably have tried the same thing under the same conditions.
What would you do now?
Just what you're going to do.
Okay, Drake.
Back to New Orleans, Jason?
Yeah, Louis. Back to New Orleans. I can't say that I felt better or worse as Louis brought the police about, but I knew I was doing what was right. I walked out of the wheelhouse and back to the fantail, looking out toward Veracruz. The sea was still a little choppy, but the storm was easing up. Then Vicky came up behind me and the weather seemed bad again.
You changed the course.
Yeah.
I was wrong. You really don't care what happens to me.
Sure I do. I want you to go back and face the whole thing. Square yourself. Prove it was a case of self-defense.
The least they'll get from me will be a conviction of perjury.
How are they going to do that?
I was a character witness for Judy. I testified I was in New York at the time of the shooting.
You'll have to take that chance.
I can't, Jason. I can't.
You killed a man, Vicky. No matter how it happened, you killed him. You've got to explain it to somebody.
I don't want to. I won't.
Vicky! Louie, hard right rudder. I'm going in after her.
Take care of the gun, Vicky! Vicky! Right here! Hold it! Hold on!
Here, Jason. I'll give you a hand.
Here she is. Here she is, Grace. I got her.
Can you make it all right?
Yeah.
You two better get into some dry clothes.
Yeah. Go tell Louie everything's all right, Lestrade.
Yeah, sure.
The way the boat was turning into you when we jumped. You could have been killed then, couldn't you, Jason?
If I hadn't done it, you would have drowned.
Can you make it last night again, Jason?
We're headed in a different direction tonight.
You could still hold me.
Sure.
How far is it to Veracruz from here, Jason?
Maybe 500 miles. Why?
That would be an awful long swim, wouldn't it?
Too long, Vicky. It's easier this way.
Lots of times, people keep looking in the wrong direction for their golden fleece. And most of the time, the going's a lot rougher than they thought it would be on the course that would have led them to it. They have to learn, like Vicky, that it's so easy to find if you don't try too hard.
A load of coal upon my back, I shall my coal.
The coal peddler will always be around with his lonesome chant, and the song of the blackberry woman will be heard in New Orleans till the end of time. Next Sunday night, we'll be sailing from here again, searching with somebody new. We'd like you to be with us aboard the Golden Fleece.
Jason and the Golden Fleece, starring MacDonald Carey with Bill Conrad as Louis Dumont, is written by Cleve Herman and Herb Ellis and directed by Arthur Jacobson. Original music is composed and conducted by Frank Worth. Also heard were Gene Bates as Vicky, Bill Boucher as Drake, Carlisle Bibbers as Paul Norman, and Vivi Janis as the operator. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.